Topic tonight will be in the book of Psalms, chapter 121. Psalms chapter 121. Something the Lord gave me yesterday as I was preparing for nursing home, and then I didn't get to preach it, but it's still on my heart. So I was debating. I got a Proverbs message. And I got another message that the Lord's given me. And I kind of debated through the three of them tonight. But Paul told Timothy to be instant in season and out of season. But he also told him to preach the word. Amen. Right? Preach the word. And so a lot of people do it a lot of different ways. Some people pray and pray and pray. And sometimes they just can't find a message from the Lord. Well, my thought on that is this. Paul told Timothy to preach the word, and this is the word. 66 books, 1,089 chapters, and 31,163 verses in this book that we can preach. And if Paul says preach the word, then I think we ought to just preach the word. Amen? The word, whatever the word is. The word of God is this right here that you have in your lap. And that's what I'm going to do tonight, and just try to encourage you and preach on just a simple thought for a little while. And I don't know, I'm used to a lot of notes, so we'll just go with it like we did on Sunday night, and just kind of be sensitive to the Lord. Psalms chapter 121, we'll read the whole chapter. If you could, you can stand if you're able. We'll go on through with it. The Bible says, very familiar passage, especially this first verse, you'll notice it. The Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Now I do want to pause for just a second. Take a peek at verse number 1 and verse number 2. Now they're almost a contrast to one another, and they're almost he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. But then he says, my help cometh from the Lord. And so it basically contrasts the first verse. He's saying in the first verse that his help cometh from the hills. Is that right? Second verse, he's saying his help cometh from the Lord. So the simple fact is that first verse is absolutely, you gotta think who's writing this. You'll look up there in the top of your Bible and it says it's a song of degrees. What does that mean? That means that the children of Israel, when they were traveling, they sung this song. And the hills were not a good place. And he's basically contrasting that. And he's saying, I'm not quite sure why he says, he's basically saying, I will lift my eyes from the hills. Everybody with me so far? I'll take my eyes off of the hills and put them on the Lord. It's not exactly what you think it says there, so you just got to do some study and figure that out. But nonetheless, I will not stop there. The Bible says in verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. You see, they're traveling here. They're traveling along here in this time. And then the Bible says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen, friend. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Pray God you'd have your will in it. I pray you'd have your way. I pray I wouldn't get in either one of them. I love you. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I'd just like to remind you folks a few things that as we're along the way, as the children of Israel were traveling along their way, they were considered as pilgrims along the way. And we, as God's people, today are just pilgrims. We're pilgrims and we're strangers headed to a better city, to a better land. We're not going to be here long, friend. We're not staying here long. But however, along the way, dangers and trials are going to beset you along the way. And he's telling, as they're singing this song, they're looking up, they're praising the Lord for what he's doing in their lives, as he's already brought them through this land, he's already brought them to this land, he's brought them through here, he's done this, he's done that, but now they're sitting here, and they're saying, Lord, I know that there's trials along the way, I know there's hard times along the way, but God, I know that you're going to be with us. Yeah, man, I know it's difficult days. I know that it is, and I'm sure maybe it's crossed your mind a time or two. Where's my help going to come from? I know, but I want to encourage you tonight, just preach this simple thought. Just this simple thought. Thank God, help is coming. Yeah, man. Thank God, help is coming. I wanted to preach a bunch of different things, but we'll start here and we'll go from there. The Bible says in verse number 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And he goes on, behold, that keepeth Israel, he that keepeth Israel shall not neither slumber nor sleep. So we see number 1, the source of our help. The source of our help. Well, the first thing is, he is our creator. He is our creator. Thank God. The psalmist knew where his help come from. His help come from the Lord. It didn't come from anybody else. And in your day that you live in today, it's not going to come from the CDC. It's not going to come from our president. It's not going to come from your boss. It's not going to come from anybody else. But your help is going to come from the Lord. Thank God. Amen. Not just a friend. He's saying it's not just a friend in verse 2. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and made earth. Friend, he's not saying that that's just a friend over there that gives me help. But thank God, this guy that's given me help, this man that's given me help is the everlasting God. He made heaven. He made earth. He simply stood on the edge of nothing and made everything. Thank God, that's the God that we serve tonight. He's the God that's above all. He's the sovereign God, the Savior. He's all the things that you can think of. He's altogether lovely. He's altogether lovely to you. He's altogether lovely to me. He is my bridegroom, thank God. I am His bride. There's so much that He is, but He is my Creator.
Amen.
He is the one who's created all the trees. You look around you and you'll find all of these leaves are going to fall off in the next 2 months. Next 3 months. They'll be falling off. They're beginning to fall off. Well, winter's coming, friend. One day I'm going to preach on winter's coming. Paul said, I don't know where I'm going with this, but Paul said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he said, Timothy, you bring me my parchments. You bring me my books. You bring me all of these things. And bring me my cloak. Don't forget my cloak because winter is coming. Friend, I tell y'all, the colder this world is getting day by day by day by day. Winter is coming and we better be prepared to meet our Maker. We better be prepared to meet the Creator of the universe because God is going to send His Son one day, and when He does come, you will eventually bow at the knees of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus, and declare Him to be God. Declare Him to be Lord. I'm talking about the ones that don't believe the Trinity. I'm talking about the ones that the agnostics. I'm talking about the ones that don't believe anything. It takes more faith to not believe anything than it does to believe in something. Friend, I tell you, I'm talking about all those people will one day bow their knee to Jesus and proclaim Him to be Lord. Sovereign, friend. All they have to do now is believe Him to be Creator. Believe Him to be the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, that He rose from the dead. He was buried in the grave. He hung on a cross, that He shed His precious blood. It is a love story. It's a bloody book, but it's all for us. Yeah, man, Isaiah chapter 53, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, tells us so much about the gospel. And all the Israelites could look at that and tell everything about Him. When they crucified Him, they knew Isaiah 53. And Isaiah, but notice this. I'm not going to get too far off. Just bear with me. Notice this in the book of Isaiah. Turn over there with me. Isaiah chapter number 53 real quick. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. Who hath believed our report and whom the arm of the Lord revealed? I believe it starts about verse 14, 15, 13 there. But he says, for he shall grow up before him as a dinner plant. Let's go on down. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid our face from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded. Now notice this, okay? Notice this very closely, all right? Now as we're reading through Isaiah chapter 53, now we know that Isaiah was written about 2,000 years before the cross. Understand that, everybody, all right? I mean, it was written a long time before the cross. But he's saying here, here in verse 5, he said, he was. Everybody, now notice in the Old Testament times, they were looking to the cross. We're looking back at the cross. I don't know what Isaiah seen, but Isaiah was looking back at the cross. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. Everybody getting this, right? I mean, that's why I like the present tense. That's why he was, but we are, thank God. And then Isaiah, I think what Isaiah saw, he saw something like this. He saw something, maybe the Lord gave him a good revelation that said, before the foundation of the world. Hey, friend, I mean, before Adam and Eve ever showed up on this place, Jesus already died for our sin. There's so much that had happened before the time, but God knew what was going to happen. But what happened, he says, but we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away. We turned away. That's back then, right? I mean, that's before. We turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him. Y'all with me, right? Laid on him the iniquity of us all. Friend, he's our creator. Before the foundations of the world, he told Jeremiah that he ordained him to be a prophet before the foundations of the world. I knew you before you were even in your mother's wounds, I knew. There's so much about it, friend. I could go on and on and on. I love this chapter there in verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. How come it turns to the first person? He's talking in the second person. He's talking in the third person before that and the second person before that. But then he goes to the first person. All we like sheep have gone astray. Well, let me just tell you why. Philippians chapter number 2 verses 5 through 6 says that he thought it not robbery to be in the image of being and be God, be who God is. But I don't want to misquote that verse. I don't want to do that. But Philippians tells us over there that in chapter 2 and verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took him upon himself the form of a servant. Let's see. Let me find where I'm going. Verse 11, chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? Why does it go to the first person? I should have just preached out of this. Why does it go to the first person? Jesus became human so he could die for our sins. He became a sheep, like we're sheep, so that we could be made like him. Where do you get that? How's that Bible? How's any of that Bible? Well, I'm trying to tie all this together back to the Creator because it doesn't run too far, so I got to find my way back to the Creator. So John, the one who in the foreknowledge of God knew a lot of things, and John the Baptist, he's standing there in the water in John chapter 1 and verse 29, and he says, "Behold the King of the world." Now remember all the Israelites, right? All the Israelites, they knew all of this. Why? Because they read Isaiah, is that right? They knew Isaiah. Isaiah was their only text until Philip came along. Until after that, they did not have even Philip preached out of that. But here we go. Behold, he didn't say the King was coming. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world."
Amen.
Amen, friend. This is going somewhere. I mean, I feel the Holy Ghost, liberty right here. Thank God. All I know, friend, is that He's Creator. But He came here as a lowly, meek lamb, so He could be, Isaiah tells us there that He was like a sheep that went to the shears there. He was absolutely meek and lowly, and He came here as a lamb. He came here as a lamb. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He came here knowing that He was the Creator of the world, but He came here as the Lamb so that we could be with the Creator.
Amen.
Thank God He is our Creator tonight. Thank God He is our Creator. I know I ran a lot right there, but I come back to thank the Lord for that. The source of our help, He is our Creator, thank God. Verse 3, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He is our confirmer. Friend, when He sets something, and when He says something, it's in stone.
Yeah.
I mean, when He does something, it is in stone and there ain't no change. He won't let our foot slip. God knows how easy it is for us to slip into a place of discouragement. Y'all know that, right? But He's got us. He's our confirmer, thank God. He is, verse 3, at the end of that, He said, "Keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Amen. He is our constant helper. He's our constant helper, thank God. He also knows it's easy for us to sleep. Amen. Not only sleep, I'm talking about sleep. I'm talking about falling asleep in church. I'm talking about falling asleep on our work with God. I'm talking about falling asleep and just simply falling into a rest state. You know, I believe a lot of people fall into the comatose state while they're in church. Amen, friend. I mean, they fall into a place that they ain't go. You could not pry them off of that pew. Amen. I mean, you could not do anything, but if we would realize and grasp it in our mind, the fact of how good God is to us, the constant helper that He is to us, He is always awake and active on duty for you and I, friend, on our behalf. No fear, no fret that we live in this day, because God is on the way, friend. There is somebody in heaven. I like what Corrie Ten Boom said. She was right. And she was over there and she was captured. I've said it before. She was captured by those people. Somebody help me. Who's she captured by? Oh, Nazis. I always forget that. She's captured by those Nazis. I've read all of her books, but I just cannot remember. She's captured by those Nazis over there, and she's sleeping every night, peaceful like a baby. They ain't nobody gonna wake her up, but they could be killed at any point in time. They're dying of starvation every single day as they're over there, and Hitler and all them got them in that place, but they're there, and she says that people come up to her and ask her, "How in the world can you sleep all the time?" And she said, she turned to them and she said this. She said, "Listen, my Bible tells me that my God neither sleeps nor slumbers, and I didn't feel like both of us needed to be awake." Amen, friend. There's something about that in this day and this hour that we ain't got nothing to fear. We ain't got nothing to worry about. I know that outside this door is hectic and there's so much stuff going on, but God is our constant helper and He is the source of our help, and we can rest on Him. Thank God. the creator, thank God, the confirmer, the constant help, thank God. Then we see secondly, verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. So we see the strength of our help. The strength of our help, we see firstly, he protects us from the enemies. Ain't y'all glad of that? Yeah, man, friend. I looked up some things. I've done some studies on it before, but I want to look it up and find some things out. So I looked up some things about the old war times, in the olden times. I'm talking about Egyptian times. I'm talking about that kind of time. The time of God, time of Jesus. I'm talking about that time. Them warriors out there, what they said that they did is they said that every single time that they would go to armor, they would put on the armor. They had a sword in their right hand and a shield in their left hand. So on the enemy's right side, they are unprotected. They have no offensive weapon. Because they said in that time you couldn't get your sword past your shield. So in turn, you would have to drop your shield to hit somebody on that side. So Jesus said there, God said there, the Psalms of the Greek said there, Psalms 121 said there in verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon my right hand. When enemies came about, when enemies came in that time, he is our shade on our right hand. He protects us where we are most vulnerable. Amen. Where the enemy can get us, we're vulnerable in that area. It may be your mind where the enemy can get you. It may be your body where the enemy can get you. It may be your mouth where the enemy can get you. God help us. It may be your hands where the enemy can get you. It may be your feet where the enemy can get you. But wherever that is, God knows it. And God will be your shade.
Amen.
Thank God, friend. I'm glad about that. But for these people, as they were traveling through the wilderness, as they were traveling through all those places, what happened there? They needed some shade on their right hand. Now, it was actually their left hand, but you got to understand that from the enemy's view, it was their right hand. Yes, their right hand. So therefore, that's what this is talking about there. Thank God that our enemy, even our enemy, knows our weaknesses. Y'all know that? The devil knows your weaknesses. Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Thank God, though, that He is there to shield us. He protects us from our enemies. Verse 6, the Bible says, the sun shall not smite thee by day, and nor the moon by night. Now, He protects us from the elements. Thank God. Now, notice this. I want you to notice something. In old times, there was this such thing that in this time, as they were going through, remember, there's a lot of sand over there. There's a lot of stuff like, remember this. Here's what happened. There's this thing which is called a sunstroke. So what you know today is a sunstroke. A stroke. You overheat. Get too hot. You can stroke out. You can pass out. You can lose it all. Anybody been there? I was almost there today. I'm telling you, I was. It's 120 degrees up in that attic we're working in. We got to go tomorrow, and tomorrow's supposed to feel like 106 outside. So I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. Y'all pray for me. Amen. I tell you, I might just skip out on work anyways. But what we do here, I just preached on the slothful, man. I can't do that. God help me. Amen. I've been practicing. I've been studying on the sluggard, too, so I don't know where we're going on that one. I guess I just got to bear it. But anyways, I think that what happened here is there's this thing called a sunstroke, and it's overheating. I looked some of this stuff up, and then there's this thing called a moonstroke. You ever heard of that? Anybody ever heard of that? Now, what that is a mental illness. That when they have walked so long all day and they're overheated, then it gets dark and they can't see anything, so they begin to have like what you would call hallucinations. A moonstroke. That's what happened to these people as they were traveling. And so what happened there is Jesus, God, the Lord, the psalmist, whoever's writing this here, what they're saying there, as they were singing this, they said, He'll protect me by day, from the sun by day and the moon by night, even in every situation. But the point is, no matter the situation, God will guard us. Thank God. Thank God. Outside and inside. In the mind, in the heart, every situation is that God's got us.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad about that. I love Bible truth. That's why I love the King James Bible. And that's why I love studying it. That's why I love looking at some things. It does take some commentaries when you don't understand something. Y'all know that, right? But you know, most of the time the Bible tells you what the Bible says. Amen. Anyways, lastly, I'll be done. He is the source of our help, the strength of our help, and then lastly, He is the security of our help. The Bible says, Lord shall preserve thee. Now we know that. That word is a type of secure. Preserve thee, preserve thee from all evil, and He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth. And even forevermore. Amen. We are preserved from evil. Our flesh could sin at any moment. Some commentators have put it that your flesh is like a tornado that could blow up at any point of time. Because it's sinful. We're going to sin. It's going to happen. If you didn't sin today, tell me how. All I'm saying is we're going to sin. I'm not turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Don't get crazy. But what I'm saying is that we are flesh. And we're going to have to, that's why we have to crucify the flesh. That's why we have to submit our flesh. And make our flesh be submissive unto us. Our spirit. That's why we have to do that. But our flesh could sin at any moment. And if we think about it that way, how can we ever hope to live for God? How could we ever hope to live for God? If our flesh is just a tornado, it's just going to blow up every time. Well, here's how. The Holy Spirit. When we got saved, He moved in.
Amen.
He moved in. Thank God that He moved in. Why do you think they had such a big meeting up there in the Pentecost? He moved in. Yeah, man, that was the first time they'd ever witnessed Him. You say, how's that the first time they ever... Well, Jesus had just left. And Jesus had the Spirit inside of Him before He left. And so He said, hey, when I get up there to heaven and I don't need this Spirit inside of me because I'm flesh too. Y'all with me, right? That's good, deep Bible doctrine. When I get up there in heaven because I'm flesh too and I need the Spirit inside of me as well. When I get up to heaven, I'll send Him back for you and I'll send you a comforter. That's what He said. And they go down there and then they see 5,000 souls saved and they see people move in. They see churches. That's where the first church started. They've seen all this kind of stuff. I preached one time, a church founded on God. I preached a bunch of times in Acts chapter number 2. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. But there's so much to it. There's so much in there you can preach over and over and over again. But they praised God and they were in one accord. They went with the disciples' doctrine. They did all this stuff that ain't nobody wants to do nowadays. One, not many people want to praise God. Amen. Two, there ain't many churches that got good unity. Amen. And three, they definitely, if they, from the pulpit to the pew, from the pew to the pulpit, there's a lot of disagreements nowadays. And, but here's the thing. Here's what we got. The Bible says that unity among the brethren is, better than the ointment that dripped down the beard of Aaron. Is that right? Psalms 133. Better than that ointment. Now we know what that ointment was. It's the ointment of the apothecary. We know I preached on that. And we know that in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 or 10 in verse number 1, where it says that dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doeth the folly of those. But anyways, all I'm saying is that that's how good that is. It's good. Unity is good inside a church. A church that can't get along ain't going to do nothing for God. Amen. More disunity you got, you might as well just strip the church down, take them, send everybody home, tell them not to come back, and then try again. Seriously. It's a worthless thing. The work will be in vain. If there's disunity, discord amongst the brethren. And you can look through all the Bible. There ain't never been a time when God's done much work when discord has been sown amongst the brethren. Guess what? Just thought about this. Proverbs chapter number 6 tells us, no, it might not be number 6. I can't remember. But in the book of Proverbs, it tells us six things that God hates. Ain't that right? Hates. And one of those just happened to be sowing discord amongst the brethren. God hates it. Hates it. And it's, by the way, it's not your Galatians, what? Chapter 6. By the way, it's not your Galatians chapter 5 of the fruit of the Spirit either. Verse 22 and 23. Joy, meekness, temperance. And you put all that together, and you put all the opposite of that, the contrary of that, and you ain't gonna have no unity. That's the problem with people today. Is they ain't got much fruit of the Spirit inside of them. They ain't got much joy. They ain't got much. Hey, if you ain't happy about being saved, then you can't be happy about anything else. Amen. Amen. Joy and peace and love and temperance. Oh man, I done hit a knot on that one. Temperance. Temperance. I mean, watching your temper. You know that's a such thing that we ought to do? Temperance. And so on and so on. But anyways, when we get in this thing with God, friend, we're going to have to realize He's the one doing the preserving. Amen. Amen. People say, I got all them Calvinists and all them, we're the Armenians and all them people. Oh, you can lose your salvation. Listen, I ain't never been able to lose something I ain't keeping. Amen. He's keeping my salvation. I ain't keeping my salvation. Because if I was keeping my salvation, I'd be lost right now. Amen, friend. But I tell you is that I ain't keeping it. He's keeping it. I can't lose it because He's keeping it. Amen. Thank God. That's preservation. And I heard one preacher say one time, I don't know, a lot of y'all ain't preserved. Y'all seem more pickled. Amen, friend. I mean, that's how people are. They're bitter about things. And you try something pickled compared to something preserved. Something been sitting around for a little while that's been good and preserved. Tastes a whole lot better than it did when they first put it in there. Amen. But there's something about it is that what God's going to do, He's going to preserve us from evil. From evil. In our time, the Holy Spirit has come. He's moved in. And thank God that we have that help tonight. Amen. Then we are preserved. Verse 8, the Bible says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Not only are we preserved from evil, but thank God we're preserved for eternity. The Lord keeps us through all this. He is our watchman. Now I know you've heard probably in the Jehovah's Witnesses that they have the watchmen and the watchtower, that sort of stuff. What we have is not that. What we have is what you would call a watchman, somebody that ain't going to let anybody else get to us. Simple, because He's already got us, right? And I think it's the book of Ezekiel and chapter 33, I think. I don't know if it is, but I'm guessing that it is. I can't remember, but I think I'll find it. When I shall say to the righteous that he should surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness is shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge. Let me look down here and see if I can find this so I ain't got to read so much. What is it? Yeah. Oh, there it is. Hey, I found it. Verse 3, then whosoever, verse 2, and son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for there a watchman. It speaks of the watchman there, the one who's watching over. And he sets us as overseers of his flock. And if we see it, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet to warn the people. To warn the people. People say, oh, you're preaching too loud. Oh, you're doing this. Oh, you're doing that. I've heard it all. Friend, listen, let me just tell you what the book of Isaiah tells me in chapter 58, verse 1. It says, cry loud and spare not and show the house of Jacob their transgressions. And friend, I am not. I promise you that when Ezekiel saw the dead bones rise up in Ezekiel chapter 37, that he did not talk to them dry bones. Say, dry bones, hear ye this word that the Lord hath said. He did not say that, but he said, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And I tell you, is that what needs to happen in this dead, dry day when God ain't leaving, friend. He's going to stay around for a little bit longer till Jesus comes back. He promised us that, but there's one thing about it, friend, is he will leave this sanctuary. He will leave this place. But what we have to do is listen and get in here and hold up the stop sign. Hold the warning. Cry aloud. Spare not. Show the transgressions. God don't like those things. And when we get in there and cry aloud to the dead people and say, this is the word of the Lord, then we ought to see some dead bones raise up.
Amen.
Amen. All throughout eternity, he's going to be our watchman. He's going to keep us. Thank God for security. He said, we are sealed into the day of redemption. Well, my redemption is going to be when Jesus comes. And that's when I'm going to be sealed too. Rest of the time, he ain't going to have to seal me anymore. I'm his bride. He's my husbandman. And that's what we're going to be. In Jesus, we are preserved forever. Thank God tonight. Whatever you're going through, remember, he is the source of your help, the strength of your help, the security of your help. But thank God tonight, help is coming.